Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning, church. And if you would, go to the Gospel of John this morning. I'm not really taking a detour this morning. I'm just kind of re-preaching some stuff. Because, I want to tell y'all something. This is what I believe with all of my heart. Though we live in a world today that looks crazy, I just believe God's about to do something. You can go back into history and you can look at history of things that have happened in the United States, and there's been times that God has just moved on the nation and people began to be hungry for God. I believe that there's been enough wickedness, enough craziness, enough liberal thinking that's been out there, and I believe everybody's going to finally stop and say, "We've not had enough of this. We're tired of all this being in our face. We want to be good people. We want to be godly people. And it's time to stop. And we're going to put our foot down." And I believe the only reason why we've gone as long as we have is because we as Christians don't want to offend anybody. We're trying to be the pacifists in the bunch. And yes, we have this belief in us, but we're just letting them push us and push us over. And we're just, it's kind of like, have you ever been on an elevator that, sort of getting crowded with people as you were going up the floors, and you have to start kind of, you purposely stood at the front of the elevator because you didn't want to get shoved to the back, but then it starts getting in there and you start getting into the back and you start having to get shoved into the back and you don't really like it and you want to just say, "That's it, stop, nobody else is on there, get out of the way." But you want to control yourself so you're not hauled off to the police station as an insane person. And so, you tolerate it, right? Because you think, okay, and the minute the floor is going to get, and then you say, "Okay, excuse me," and then you belly through and get out, right? Y'all with me? And I feel like that's what we've been doing, but we're about to stand up in the elevator and say, "Enough is enough. Okay, this elevator is stopping right here, and we're getting off on this floor, and you guys are going to behave yourself, and that's it." But we're not going to do it by our strength. We're going to do it by the power of the Spirit of God. I just believe God is moving on men's hearts right now in this nation. And I'm not talking about necessarily political leaders. I'm talking about people. And they're getting hungry for God. They're tired of just getting the leftovers of what the world has. And so, anyway, I believe in for a move of God. And I want to tell you something. When the move of God begins to move in a great way, you're going to be able to stop and you're going to be able to stand up and you're going to say, no man is in charge of it. God is doing it. And that's what's going to be important. Because I don't want to just do something because some guy is a great speaker I want to do it because you can look at it and say, "Man, that's really God. God is moving. God is touching people's hearts. He's causing people to be hungry." Amen? And so he's going to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, this is Pentecost Sunday, and so I am preaching about the Holy Spirit and talking about that because I just believe it's relevant and it ties all in right now with where we are in life. When you got to imagine, I've used this example before, but if Jesus was here this morning and he was holding a service, I don't mean here in this church, I mean in the world, I'm sure he would have a sold out crowd, but we all wouldn't get in. There's not an auditorium big enough for us. Right? There's not a way for all of us to be one-on-one with Jesus in flesh. Right? And Jesus knew this was going to happen. Now, if you see, before the day of Pentecost comes, Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he tells them in the book of John chapter 14, down over in verse 18, he says, I don't want to leave you as orphans, but I want to come to you. Jesus was concerned with you being lonely. Jesus was concerned with you getting into a place in life that you weren't hearing from God, didn't have any revelation coming to you, didn't have any love coming to you, any grace coming to you, any mercy coming to you. He was worried about you being all alone and not having any touch with heaven. Jesus was worried about that. Okay? So if you go flip over in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, Let's look at his last words that he said to you. In Acts 1, the Luke is writing the Acts here, and he says, verse 1, he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after the suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." You've got to understand something. Jesus didn't just come up from the resurrection, go talk to the apostles once, and left earth. He said, "Well, this sounds like a fairy tale." Listen, do we believe the Bible's true? This is not just some church doctrine, bro. This is the Word of God, okay? He says that, and he's risen from the grave. We know in John he had the, they were all out fishing, and he comes up and eats fish with them. And there was 40 days on earth that Jesus walked on the earth talking to his disciples before he went to heaven for the last time until he comes back for the last time. Y'all with me? And in the 40 days that he was there, he was talking to him all about the things that were coming, but he knew that he was going to be gone. And if you notice the way Luke refers to this, he says, until the day in which he was taken up. Now after that, he, through the Holy Spirit, was speaking to the apostles and doing things. Jesus said, "Look, there's no way that I'm going to be able to be here with you one-on-one. I can't be here with you one-on-one." He said, "But I want to be with every believer everywhere, all over the world, all at the same time, and we're going to do it through the Holy Spirit." Now, what's interesting to me in life is that in church tradition, I'm talking church, everything. In church tradition, you know, we sing doxologies, we do different things, and everyone talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? You're not going to go to a Protestant church that they're not going to say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the creator of the world and all therein. We've got no problem with that. God the Son of God, Jesus, dying on a cross for us. We've got no problem with that. But then when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, everybody starts freaking out like a cow going through a new gate. And everybody's just like, whoa, I don't know about this. And I can't really understand why. I can't understand why in our churches we would stand up and talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But then all of a sudden it's the third part of God and everybody freaks out and said, "I don't know, we don't want to know anything about that." To me, it's like if Jesus is saying something here. Now, look, read on what Jesus said in his own words. He said down in verse 5, "For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus said, "You're going to be immersed." Because that word baptized, it means immersed, covered, completely overtaken by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he said, "I don't want to leave you as orphans. I want to leave you with some comfort. I don't." Listen, all of us have lost loved ones. And the void in our lives that we have from remembering our loved one but not being able to touch them or whatever. We have that void in us because they're not with us. Jesus said, "I don't want you to have a void in you because I'm gone. I don't want to leave you like an orphan. I want to be there with you all the time. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send him down upon this earth. He's going to be with you. He's going to come so you don't feel like an orphan." How does an orphan feel? Alone. No security. Helpless. God says, if you're feeling any way like that, you're missing it. I want to send my Holy Spirit upon you. I want him to touch you. I want him to teach you. I want him to help you. I want him to comfort you. I want him to show you mercy, grace, open up revelation to this Word of God. I want to show you. I want to get the Holy Spirit to teach you how to love. To be able to tap you on the shoulder and say, "I wouldn't do that if I was you." The other day I was working, we're remodeling a house, and it's got all this old wiring in it. And the electricians weren't on the job, and we needed to move this light fixture. And I said, "Oh, nobody would touch it because everybody was scared of it. And I said, get out of the way. I said, my gosh, let me get that thing down. And so I asked him, is the breaker cut off? They said, we don't know. We don't even know what breaker goes to this thing. And we don't even have a ton of breakers in there, but, you know, we don't know what this thing is. And I said, well, does anybody know if it's hot or not? I said, no, we ain't touching it. All the carpenters, they said, no, we ain't touching it. It's not our job. We drive nails. We ain't messing with that stuff. That's why you get the electricians out here. And I said, well, we got to get it moved. And so they said, well, I know it needs to get out of the way. So you're going to have to do it. So I said, all right. So, I'm a high-class electrician. You know, I know a lot about electricity. The number one thing is it will shock you. And the number two thing, if you stick a screwdriver in it, and if it's hot, it'll spark, you know? So that's my testing tool. I don't use those little deals. A guy gave me one time a tester and told me, he said, you know, quit doing that and just stick the tester, put the two little prongs in. But while I tried to put these, you know, little prongs, I got a screwdriver like that, you know? Suck these two little prongs, and then I touched the side of the box, and that thing sparked and liked to bit me, you know? And I was like, ah, I ain't never messing with that. Give me my screwdriver, you know? So sure enough, I reached up and I stuck my screwdriver in it, you know, fought it like a sword, you know, up in there. Nothing sparked. And I said, hey, man, it must be off. And so I got up there a little closer to it and I worked a little harder and I couldn't make it spark anywhere. I said, oh, that's great, you know. So I took the wire off and I was pulling the deal down and all. Well, you know, I just didn't notice these other wires that were right up above it that were right there. And here in a minute, I sucked the screwdriver in it, you know, and everything shot sparks everywhere, you know, and it was alive and I jumped out and got mad, you know, and had to tear the box off with my hammer finally, you know. But point is, there was something alive there. There was something in that wire. I couldn't see it. I couldn't taste it. I couldn't smell it. But it would have bit me had I got hold of it. Y'all with me? But that's why everybody freaks out over the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't see it. You can't see it necessarily taste it. So everybody just freaks out about it. I said, well, I don't know if I believe it. Listen to me. I believe in electricity. I have seen the manifestation of electricity as the spark. I have felt the power of electricity when it bit me, but I have never seen electricity. You can't throw it out and say, boy, I was out hunting today and killed a big old electricity. You can't got nothing there. Are y'all with me? And so we're talking about, Jesus said, I want to make it just like electricity. You're not going to see it, but it's going to be everywhere for you. You're going to be able to tap into it. You're going to be able to get touched by it. You're going to be able to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed, covered, whatever you have need of, because I don't want you feeling like an orphan. I don't want you to have that hurt because I'm not with you. That's amazing to me that he loves us so much. He says, I don't want that pain in your heart to be there from losing me. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to comfort you, and he's going to be there with you. Now, the thing about this is that if you go and you look, just go over to Acts chapter 2. Oh, let's finish this in Acts 1. In Acts 1, verse 8, and he says, this is what's going to happen. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power, the word power there is dunamis. And dunamis means it's a word that we derive dynamite from. It's an explosive power. Listen to me. It's not some sissy Nancy boy thing. It's an explosive power. He said, I'm going to send the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. I'm going to give you power. What's the power for? Well, listen to me. You go read the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, like you take Joshua. In Joshua chapter 10, when Joshua conquered the nations, he put his foot on the necks of his enemies. God had him do that. He said, you go do it. Put your foot on the neck of your enemies because I want to show you that you're having dominion and you're conquering that thing. Well, I tell you what, the world needs some power right now because we need to conquer some things that are going on. We need to conquer, man, the addiction to drugs. We need to conquer addiction to alcohol. We need to take addiction and be able to put our foot on it and say, man, you don't rule me anymore. We need the power of God to be able to sew tongues back together so they're not forked. How about that one, huh? We need the power to heal the forked tongue. All right? We need the power of God in our lives to take the bitterness from our hearts, from what this life has thrown at us. There's not any of you sitting in here today, unless you have lived in a bubble with no communications to any outside world or ever talked to a person, that you don't have a hurt or a pain in your life from something. We live in a fallen world, a world that's not right, a world that doesn't line everything up. It's not right. It's warped, it's twisted, and there's warped and twisted people in it, and warped and twisted people make more warped and twisted people, but the Holy Ghost has a way to come into your life and straighten the warped lumber. You say, how? It's like electricity. I don't know. It just works. This morning, I've used electricity everywhere. I turned my lights on. I ground some coffee. I made coffee. I did all kinds of things with electricity, and I didn't sit there and question it. I didn't get down and look in the little socket and say, how do you work? Are y'all with me? I just plugged it in and used it. I know when it works and when it doesn't work. But the problem is in life, Christians have gotten to where they don't want to deal with the Holy Spirit because they're back here like, oh, it might bite me. When in fact, how useful is electricity? How would y'all like to have got up this morning and tried to get to church without electricity? I mean, we freak out when the storm comes in and electricity goes off for a few hours. We're all freaked out. 7 million calls to the power company. Electricity's off. Isn't that right, Mark? You'll need to have a recorder on that says, we know your electricity's off. Quit calling. Our worlds fall apart just because we don't have electricity. Right? Okay. So he says, I want you to receive power in the Holy Spirit. I want you to come in. I want you to have this power in your life to be able to not be dominated, but to dominate. I don't want you to be dominated. I don't want you to be bound by addictions, problems, whatever would come your way. Now, flip over to the Old Testament. You say, well, why is all of this? Well, it was a promise. It was a promise, folks. Ezekiel, Old Testament, chapter 36. It was a promise written in the Old Testament of what God spoke his heart one day, recorded by the prophet Ezekiel, wrote it down what God's heart was for us. And he said, you know, verse 26 says, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit I'm going to put within you. And I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I have given your fathers and you shall be my people and I will be your God. It was his promise. He said, look, you heard the heart throb of God the Father saying, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I want to come and I want to live in you. Jesus said it. I don't want you to be orphans. I want to come into you. He says a promise. Jesus was doing what he did to fulfill his Father's own promise to humanity. God had already known what happened, with Adam and Eve, that he was in the, that he just, ask them not to do one thing and they couldn't do it. So he didn't want the broken relationship. If you go back and you look in the book of Genesis and you read chapter 3 of the fall of the garden, and you see that immediately when Adam and Eve heard God calling for them, the first thing they did is they hid themselves. And they hid themselves because they said, oh, well, we were naked and we didn't want you to see us. Yeah, you were vulnerable before God. And that's what happens with us as humans. Now, we don't want to hear the voice of God when he's calling to us. We don't want to walk in the things of God when he's got it there because we're ashamed of what we've done in life. And God said, look, I don't want you like this. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be with you. I want to live in you and I want to dwell in you and I want to be your God and you be my people and we're living in this great relationship. Not broken, not severed, not fractured. Wow. See, folks, you don't realize, as I've been preaching these messages about VIPs and how very important they are, I don't know if you realize that the creator of this world is chasing you. He's chasing you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's not mad at you and said, man, I can't believe they showed up at the house today. Humans may do that, but, we don't do that. I mean, humans do that, but God doesn't do that. God's chasing you. Church, you're a very important person to him. There's not any person on the face of this earth that he doesn't want to have a relationship with. There's people that the Bible talks about in the last days when it's all over, getting ready to be over with and said and done, will actually rather have a rock fall on them than to have to even have a relationship with God. That's gotten pretty hard-hearted. Why do you think that certain individuals get so angry when you talk to them about Jesus? It's because they don't want Jesus in their life because he, to them, is the party pooper. He's the party pooper. And they want to do what they want to do, and if Jesus is around, they don't like that. So he's the biggest party pooper there is. So don't have him around. So don't talk to me about Jesus. It's their attitude. So all it does is tell you where their heart is. I want to tell you, I found out a long time ago that I am an absolute 100% idiot, and I need Jesus every second of my life. I don't have no pride in myself and what other, oh, look what great things I can do. I want to tell you something. I am an idiot, and I need him. I will make the wrong decision. I am the guy that when it says wet paint don't touch, I'm going to touch it just to see if it's wet. Okay? So this is what this was all about. Now go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. When the day of Pentecost, it was the Jewish celebration, the day of Pentecost. This same day, roughly 2,000 years ago. Now, because they celebrated, they were Jewish people, they would have gone to the temple to celebrate Pentecost. So they were standing in the temple. So this event that took place on Pentecost Sunday took place in church, really when no one was expecting it, because they were just going through the ritualistic service of being at Pentecost. You following me? Nobody was expecting this to happen. Nobody did. It didn't dawn on them. They're just in there doing whatever their Jewish ritual was to celebrate Pentecost. The men were getting ready to present themselves before the Lord, and it says, and then suddenly. Verse 2, and then suddenly. I'm ready for God to do some suddenlies. I'm ready for God just to show up on the scene and show everybody he's God. That he's not God that's dead. He's a God that's alive. And he just shows up suddenly. And everybody just steps back and says, wow, what is this? We're just seeing some manifestation of some electricity. Right? And suddenly, everybody's saying suddenly. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I mean, can you imagine this? Just put yourself in that place. You're just looking over there. And you just look over there, and he said, Frankie, you got a big old fire tongue on top of your head. I mean, folks, that's wild. It's freaky. It is different. I'll admit it. It doesn't seem like the strange. I mean, it doesn't seem like the norm. It seems like the strange thing. But the people just looked at one another. You got to understand, this is real. This happened. Don't tell me it didn't happen. Don't tell me people just, you know, that they really were sharing the communion wine and somebody mixed peyote in there and everybody's hallucinating. Don't go into that kind of stuff, okay? It happened. It was the Holy Spirit falling, okay? But can you imagine just sitting here and all of a sudden everybody's just seeing a tongue of fire sitting on top of your head. But suddenly God did something. Suddenly God did something right there in the midst of all that traditional drudgery that they'd been doing forever. Listen to me. In all their just plastic religion of just going through the motions with no life in it, I believe the church world is sick of going through the motions with no life in it. Getting up and going to church on Sunday and leaving the building the same as when they came in. Doing just a duty and a service. Going in there and just walking through the motions and saying the same prayers and praying for the same people and the same amount of funerals that week and the same amount of this and same amount of that. And suddenly God messed it all up. He just freaked everybody out. And I don't know about you, it may seem a little scary to you, but I know that God loves us. And I know that God wants good for us. And I'm not scared of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not scared of God. You shouldn't be scared of God. Why should I be scared of somebody that absolutely loved me so much that he sent his son on this earth to die for me? So he just freaked everybody out. Holy Spirit fell on everybody. Saw fire on top of them. They all started speaking in another language that they didn't know. If you read on down through verse 5 through 13, it says that they began to hear them speaking in all these different languages, but they were all speaking the wonderful works of God. They were all declaring the wonderful works of God. Wouldn't it be great if Christians would all start lifting and exalting Jesus rather than lifting and exalting church? Wouldn't it be great if everybody got in the same voice and the same tongue and just started lifting up Jesus? I had a guy talking to me the other day, just in the construction site, and he said something about it. He said, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, oh, great. I said, you believe Jesus is the Son of God? He said, yeah. I said, well, great, man. We're brothers. And he was like, that was too easy. And I said, I don't care what denomination you belong to. Do we all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Is that where our faith is? You look into him, trusting in him. Okay. You know, well, we got some common ground. Now, these guys were all declaring the wonderful works of God. But immediately, if you look at verse 13, immediately some didn't like it and said, these guys are all drunk. Now, it's regrettable, but in my younger days, I'd been around a lot of drunk people. And I never saw anybody that looked like they were full of the Holy Spirit. I never looked on them and said, oh, Joe, is he drunk or is he full of the Holy Ghost? I never went into a bar and came out and said, man, there was really a move of God in there tonight. So I don't know where these guys came up with that. Said they're drunk. I guess because it looked like they were having a good time. I don't know. Anyway, Peter immediately stands up. Verse 14 tells him, hey, this is fulfilling of Scripture. That's what's going on here. Okay? So now, let's go over to the book of Acts chapter 8 for just a second. Listen, because the Holy Spirit fell and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit at that day, then that didn't mean everything was perfect. It didn't take any time that they were getting persecuted for being a Christian. So just because you're empowered by the Spirit of God doesn't mean that the world still is going to hate you. But you got to understand something. It doesn't hate you because of the person you are. It hates you for what's on the inside of you. Y'all with me? You know how they always tell you, it's not personal, it's just business. That's one of the terms I hate. Excuse me. But what I started to turn around and say, no, it's not personal, it's just demonic. Because the devil hates what's on the inside of you. All right? Well, you go over to Acts chapter 8, now the church has gotten in disarray and the people are attacking them, killing them, people are going out, but all it did was spread the word. People went out everywhere preaching, telling everybody about God and things of God. And it says that Saul was attacking the church and tearing it all up. And Philip, he goes down to Samaria and he starts preaching. Find it over in verse 4. I'm in Acts 8, verse 4. He goes over there and he begins preaching and God begins moving and signs and wonders are happening. People are getting healed, getting touched. Great joy, it says in verse 8, in the city. All right? And it says, go down to verse 14. And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent Peter and John to them. For when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he has yet not fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Well, what's up with this? He's down there preaching. Everybody's getting healed and joy's coming and people are getting saved and baptized in the river. But then they had the apostles come down. Then to say, look, okay, now you've gotten saved. Now you know Jesus, but now you need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, I want to tell you something. I believe the Bible's true. Do y'all? Do you really believe it's true? I mean, if you really believe it's true, then you have to look at this verse right here and say, well, then I guess you can't pass it off and say, well, when you get saved and ask Jesus to come into your life, you get all the Holy Spirit there is. Because then what does this mean? I mean, I'm just throwing this argument out. I'm just being the prosecuting attorney today, just, you know, putting the evidence out. Or the defense attorney, whichever one I am, I don't know. I'm just laying a case out here. How are you going to get around it? You can't get around. I mean, how are you going to get around it? Either the Word of God, well, you got to understand. You know, no, don't give me all that bull. Either the Bible's true or it's not. Because I'm going to tell you something. The moment you take the Bible and you start moving the words around, then what are you going to do with John 3:16? Well, maybe God doesn't so much love the world that he gave his only begotten son. Maybe God only loves some. You see what I'm saying? You can't change one piece because when you start to change one piece of the Bible, it all starts to unravel. But when you take the word for what the word is, so apparently God had a plan that people would get saved, that they would know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then they would ask as a subsequent experience to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, to be empowered by God, for God to be living in them and dwelling in them so that they could walk on the face of this earth having victory over the things that came against them in life. Hello? I see some of you don't look like you believe me. I heard it right there. Somebody was watching on video or listening by audio and said they didn't believe me. Okay, so let's go on over to Acts chapter 10. Let me get the second argument here. Because you're going to lose the battle today. Peter, he goes to the house of Cornelius. And he's over at the house. He's really freaking out because he's at the house of a Gentile. Now, a Jew's not supposed to be in the house of a Gentile, but he's in the house of this Gentile, and he's preaching. He's telling them about Jesus. He's telling them all the things, and the people are hungry. Now, this is the key. People were hungry. They wanted more of God. They were hungry for the things of God. They wanted God to come into their life, and they wanted to have revival in their lives. Okay? And so they're going along there, and it says, he told them all about Jesus. He told them what was going on. Verse 43 says, and then he appointed prophets in them that whoever would believe in him that would receive the remission of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those that heard the words. And there were all those circumcision who believed and were astonished, as many as with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. And then Peter answered, well, can anybody forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as we have? So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God said, I'm not going to be put in a box. I'm going to mess up your way that you're going to do things. You say this one's got to take place first and that one's got to place first. That's going to mess your box up. You see what it is folks, when people are hungry for God, God will move in your life. If you're not hungry for God and somebody's trying to talk you into it, somebody's trying to get you to like it, listen, there's certain things and foods in life, I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't want to eat it. And you can kind of mix it up in some other food and try to get me to eat it, but I want to seek it. I want to know what it is. I want to taste it. I ain't going to like it. But I like some things that my wife doesn't like. Like, I love horseradish. I love radishes. I love onions. I can eat an onion like an apple. I'm a little weird. I know what to say. They're good for me. What I'm trying to say here is that God's not going to get it. If you're hungry for Him, He's going to find a way to get into your life if you'll simply ask Him. And no matter what religious bounds are there, what bad teachings there, whatever rivers He has to cross in your life, He will get through it to get to you if you're hungry. If you're not, and somebody's having to try to get you baited along on this thing, you know, it's going to be difficult. Now go over to Acts chapter 19. Y'all just hang with me for just a minute. I'm about through. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it says, it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth and Paul was passing through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We've not even heard whether there is the Holy Spirit." He said, "What are you talking about? We don't know what you're talking about." And they said unto them, "And then what are you baptizing?" They said, "Well, unto John's baptism." Then Paul said, "Well, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that people, that they should believe on him that would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." Now, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit, and it came upon them, and they spoke with tongues as prophesied. So now here again, now it's turned around a little bit. It's like it was at Samaria. The people believed in Jesus, confessed him as their Lord and Savior, baptized in the water, and then they got out, and then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered. Folks, all I'm telling you today on this Pentecost Sunday is God wants to empower you. I'm not big on Pentecostal ways because I've seen some flaky Pentecostals, and I have seen some weird stuff. But I want you to understand something. God is real. Jesus is real. And the Holy Spirit is real. And I'm here to tell you today that however hungry you are in your heart is the degree that you're going to really know God. Now back to my story of electricity. If I wasn't so lazy and I really wanted to understand electricity and I really got somebody to teach me that knew about electricity and understanding of it and then even sought it out more in depth, like how is it made and where, you know, how does it come out of the machines and through the transformers and, you know, and how does this all work? And I really studied it out and I got a real understanding of it, okay? Then you know what? I would be the same as me, seeking out the things of God, digging into the things of God, finding somebody to help me understand the things of God, having an open mind about what the Word of God is saying, getting myself, you know, where I've closed off because of what someone else has said, finding out the truth, learning the truth, getting into the what really is the right way to do things, the right way to put it up, the right way to learn about God. And that's called hunger. That's called hunger. That's called hunger. And the more you seek, the more you will find. It's what the Bible says. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. The more you seek, the more you're going to find. And the more not. And then if you're to that old complacent state as an old Christian, and you think that you have got it all figured out, you know what's happened? You've gotten fat, and I don't mean physically. You've gotten fat and apathetic. You've gotten dull of hearing, and you're about to turn pharisaical. Because that's what the Pharisees did. They were a time in their life, they were hungry for the things of God. They learned the things of God. They studied the Bible forwards and backwards, and they did all this stuff. But then what happened to them is they just got kind of fat and apathetic, and they got dull of hearing. And they said, "Oh, we already know it all." Every time I read my Bible, every day when I'm reading my Bible, I read it as if I have never seen it before. I look at it as if I didn't know it said that, because I do not ever want to get dull of hearing. I want to hear what God is saying through the Word. I want to keep it fresh and new. And so we talk about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, getting totally, completely, fully immersed. There may be those of you today that you're saying, well, wait a minute, I never did ask for all of God coming to my life. But there may be others of you today that you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost for years and years, but you just better watch it, because your ears are getting fat. They're getting dull of hearing. And we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need a fresh move of God in our, all of us. Every day. It's not a one-time experience. It's every day, every moment, just to stop and say, oh, Lord, just send the power of your Holy Spirit upon me today. I need you to come into my life and cleanse my thinking. Just be here with me. Folks, if you just would do that, you're going to start to live a power in charged life. But say, well, I don't know about that Holy Spirit stuff. I don't know about this. What is your prayer? What's the hunger in your heart tell you? I'm telling you, won't I need the Holy Spirit with me every moment. I need him tapping me on the shoulder and telling me not to do this or to do this. I'm going to close with one story I just thought of. It's the perfect illustration. This is when I first got saved. This is back in the 80s. And I was just starting to work as a carpenter. And we were remodeling an old house. And this house was kind of creepy. Nobody had lived in it for 10 or 15 years. And it was kind of creepy and dusty and spiders everywhere. Looked like an old haunted house. And so the guy that I was working with, he was really goosey. You know, you could get him on anything. You know, you just say, what's that? And I mean, he is freaking out, you know. And so I just loved it. It was like that was the joy of my life to irritate this guy. And so we were, you know, I kept saying, I don't know, did you hear something in that closet? You know, when I was just really baiting him on and just waiting for a moment to throw something on him or do something. And so I walked up and I was teasing him about this. And I got up to the second floor of this house and there was a door that went outside onto a porch. And I was supposed to walk out there because the head contractor was downstairs and he was hollering at me and he was going to throw the extension cord up to me. And I reached for that doorknob, and when I put my hand on that doorknob, right inside of me just went, whoop, just like, caution, don't open that door. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And so the guy said to me, what's happening, you know? I said, oh, nothing, I just got a little freaked out, I touched that doorknob, and he's like, what's that mean, you know? And I said, I don't know. I said, just leave. Now I'm getting kind of goosey, you know? And so I grabbed that doorknob again, just on this side of me, whoop, whoop, just a little something, just it just didn't feel right. And so I thought, that's weird. And so I got, there was a window there, and I got up and I pushed my face up against the window, and I was trying to look and see around the thing. And of course, you know, I'm getting freaked out. And I can't, you know, figure out what this is. But it was just the very first days of me wanting to you know, asking God every morning to empower me with the Holy Spirit so I could hear him and know what was going on. And so I reached one more time for the doorknob and felt the same thing again. And I said, you know, Lord, I got to walk outside that door. And you just, I don't know what this is. This is ridiculous. And I jerked the door open, and on it was a yellow jacket nest about that big. And these yellow jackets just flew into the house and started stinging me on the ears and all around. Everybody's just running and screaming. We're freaking out, trying to get down the stairs and fighting these yellow jackets off, you know. And I get to the bottom and I got stung, you know, 5 or 10 times and we're all outside licking our wounds and I start laughing. And the guy said, what are you laughing about? And I said, man, God told me don't open that door. But did I listen? No, I didn't listen. And so this is exactly what I got from this whole situation. They said, well, dadgummit, you better listen the next time. You know, I got stung too. And so I said, well, I got to listen for everybody around here. Why don't you listen for God yourself, you know? Well, I don't hear God as well as you're doing, you know, whatever. And I said, well, you know, so we get this big argument about this thing. And all I'm telling you is, man, we need the power of the Holy Spirit every day with us, to guide us and lead us and help us and keep us out of those mistakes. And unless you're hungry and you're sensitive and you're seeking, you're not going to follow the Holy Spirit. You're going to miss him every time, because you can look in that wall and you don't see electricity. It's not visible. It's the same with the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to learn how to tap into him and let him come into your life and empower you. Amen. Put your Bibles up if you would, and stand to your feet. Lord, come up here and play something. I just want to encourage you, if you're here today or if you're watching by video or listening by audio, man, God loves you and he wants to bless you. He wants to be a part of your life. You got to stir your hunger, though. And I can't make you. I can't force you. I can't twist your arm. Something you have to do inside of your own heart. But men, we talked today about being men of honor, not of pride. Don't let pride get in your way. Don't ever let pride get in your way for seeking the things of God or be ashamed of asking about the things of God. Listen, somebody that would look down on you for that, you don't want to be around them. This is a day and a time and an hour for us to get hungry for the things of God. Don't let pride get in the way. If this message has spoke to your heart today and you said, listen, I want all that God has, well, then I want to pray with you here in just a second. I'm believing for signs and wonders and miracles in these days. I'm believing for y'all to give me great testimonies about what God's doing for you in your lives. And I just simply want to say this, real simple. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you're hungry for God and you want all that he has in life, you want to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, well then open up your heart right now as I pray this prayer and let him come in. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray for each person in here. I pray, Lord God, for all those that are watching, all those that are listening today, people that are hungry for you. And that right now, Lord, that every hungry heart, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, as they cry out for you and they ask for you to come into their lives, Lord, you show yourself so strong to them. You fill them full to overflowing. That, Lord, they begin to see your manifestation in all areas of their life. That no longer is it just hidden away behind the walls of their lives, but it's alive. And Lord, the Holy Spirit's moving and empowering them. Lord, you see our hearts today and you know each and every one of us. We just cry out for you. Guide us and lead us and direct us. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, can I have my prayer team come down this morning? Church, if you're here this morning and you need prayer, well, we're here for you. We want to pray for you. If you just want somebody to lay hands on you this morning because you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you want more whatever, I don't care what it is. We're here for you. So take the hand of the person beside you. And I'm going to close us in prayer. And we're down here for you if you need us. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for blessing this congregation. That as we go from this building and go out into the world, Lord, I just believe that we're going to run across people, Lord, everywhere we go, that we can tell about Jesus. And that, Lord, you're going to lead us. You're going to guide us. And that this week, Lord, you're going to reveal yourself more and more to us because we're hungry for you. So God, we just thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. We're here down front if you need prayer.